Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Ooh, Freakonomics.
You've probably guessed that means that Stephen Dubner is with us, co-author of the blog and book Freakonomics. And of course, we're going to be talking about the economy, unemployment, credit freezes, people losing health care, all kinds of tough times for Americans now as the economy struggles. But Stephen says there is actually a silver lining here somewhere.
Perhaps. So
we have to take our medicine. Is that the deal?
All right. Here's my theory. Bear with me. So it has to do with the concept of human capital. This is what economists call, what we people,
human capital. They call it
human capital. They call it what people develop, their skills, their work ethics, and so on. So, you were talking about AIG a minute ago and the bailout money. Where's it going? Where's all this money going? We don't really know. Well, think about it for a minute like this. Wall Street is losing hundreds of thousands of jobs. Affiliated industries are going to lose hundreds of thousands of jobs. That is a lot of human capital, people who have developed skills, who have studied, who've learned complex systems. Tons of education. Is it being poured down the drain? Does it just go away? Does it vanish? I would argue, no, it does not. It gets allocated. It gets reallocated. Sometimes people misallocate their human capital. One classic example is children who spend lots of time trying to become pro athletes or big-time entertainers. The chances of that happening are very slim, so economists say, why the hell do so many people pour so much of their human capital into something where there's so little chance of payoff? Wall Street, we're talking about a different story. We're talking about a great deal of human capital. Where is it going to go? In order to explain that, let me take a step back for a minute. 50 years ago, more than half of all white college female college graduates did the same profession, which was school teaching. The reason they did is there were very few professions open to educated women. They couldn't be bankers and lawyers and doctors typically at that time. As the environment in this country changed, along with the Civil Rights Act and so on, and as feminism really made inroads, those professions opened up to women, and they began to pursue them whole hog. What happened was a kind of stunning reversal of the talent pool among school teachers, which is to say the talent among the average teacher dropped greatly. Over the next 20, 30, 40 years, the average teacher was nowhere near as well-educated or as well-qualified as the women who had been teaching before. The best and brightest women were gravitating toward other professions. Now, it's a little un-PC to say that, and I should say there are still many, many great teachers, obviously, male and female.
Yeah, that's the
emails
one thought
are starting
that
to come
is,
in
well,
now.
Well, that's the
it's
one like, thought that's flying like, through my head, because obviously there's lots of talented teachers.
Without question, and everything I say has to be taken, not necessarily with a grain of salt, but I'm talking in kind of aggregate numbers here. So, of course, our minds naturally gravitate toward, wait a minute, but I know the most brilliant person who went into teaching, and that will always be true. But
this is
average,
sort of a different direction if you're talking about Wall Street. I mean, how much education does it take to say, hello, can I take your order at McDonald's, please? I mean,
okay.
If an investment banker ends up there, where are they going to go?
Right. Well, that's a good question. If the investment banker ends up at McDonald's, you're going to see a shift beyond what we can even imagine, because first of all, that person probably won't be happy there. And second of all, the people who needed to be working at McDonald's won't be working at McDonald's. But that doesn't mean, if you look at our economy now and all the concerns, especially that are on the plate of the incoming administration, these are big topics that require good thinking, that require discipline, that require understanding of complex processes, by which I mean technology innovations, by which I mean energy, particularly alternative energy, by which I mean healthcare, not only the administration but
the
management.
So the silver lining, let's just focus, the silver lining is—
You calling me unfocused?
People on Wall Street who have great education, who are really smart people, who have done really well in this economic good time, are suddenly going to migrate into places like green industries, the government,
education,
healthcare,
and research,
that will
science.
Have a broad benefit to the U.S. economy
exactly.
over the long haul.
And what is that long haul? Like, if you had to estimate when those industries start feeling that effect, when is that?
Well, I'd like to think that 20 years from now, when cancer has been eradicated and when the threat from global warming is a distant memory and when poverty is just some hoary old cliche, that we could look back on the great 08 meltdown and thank it for providing the human capital. And let me also say this.
We will have you back in 20
right,
years.
I'll be
okay,
here.
But
let me also say this. It's not just the senior people and the middle level people who are working now. It's the people who are in college right now and getting their MBAs right now who were going to try to go into finance and
changing their priorities. Here's another question on the silver lining bit, okay? Is it possible that a global recession helps us with things like climate change, carbon emissions, pollution? If there's an industrial downturn, a reduction in demand for oil, as the price crash seems to indicate, that could be a welcome respite from an industrial economy that maybe needs a pause?
It's a great question with a complex answer. The answer is yes, no, and yes. The yes part is, in the short term, you're going to have a guest on in a little bit who's going to talk about
economist.
The highway system.
He's an economist.
He's a freak
John.
Economist. Anyway, go ahead, continue.
So the gas tax, for instance, which your next guest later on will be talking about, is a huge component of this, right? We're consuming less gas now because of the price of gas. So, yeah, that's a little bit good for the environment, but it's not a systemic change. So in the long run, it's not very good. So, yeah, will a fall off in manufacturing and transportation help a little bit with these concerns? A little bit, yeah, but it's not a fix. It's not even a Band-Aid because it's not even intentional. Okay, it's an unintended consequence of this downturn. I wouldn't look to that as being – I think the single best thing that can come out of the economic mess, aside from my grand silver lining theory, is that people will be reminded that they cannot consume things that they cannot afford. That they should not consume things that they cannot afford. And we've been taught a different message for the past 20 years.
So people will be much more aware of the consequences of their consumption as a result of this particular crisis.
Exactly.
All right. That's good. That's good. I'll leave it there for now.
Thank you.
Stephen Dubner, Takeaway Contributor, author of the Freakonomics book and blog, taking us right to headlines with Femi Okeh. Okay.
Thank you very much. The time is 28 minutes past the hour. American Express is known for its credit cards, but now it's also a bank. The Fed decided to allow the change yesterday and saying emergency conditions was the reason for the actual change. American Express will be able to now accept deposits and have permanent access to Fed financing.
I want to be a bank. I think I need to be a bank.
But
so I can get some of the Fed financing.
You're a daddy, so you are a bank. You're a walking bank.
Yeah, boy, talk about bailout. Please continue.
Starbucks is also having money troubles. In its quarterly earning report yesterday, the company said profits fell a whopping 97% in the past year, from almost $160 million to just over $5
million. Wow.
That John, you want to be a
difference.
Coffee shop too?
Ooh, man.
That's a big difference, isn't it?
That's rough.
But they're still in profit, just. The company says fewer customers and increased costs are to blame. And finally, the Secret Service names for the new first family have been decided. President-elect Obama is a renegade. Michelle Obama, renaissance. Malia is radiance. And Sasha is rosebud. They sound like characters from a Marvel comic, don't they?
Those flow off
the tongue. These are secret names?
Yeah.
Why did they announce the secret
names? Well, because they're
names?
Going to be encrypted, so you wouldn't be able to know it's Rosebud or Radiance or Renaissance or Renegade.
We are tracking Rosebud on transponder 705.
It's funny that they're all R's as well. I don't know why that would be.
Well, anyway, that's great. I'm glad to know that.
Yeah. I mean, you're never...
Radiance, Rosebud, Renaissance or Renaissance, okay?
Yes.
And Renegade.
Yes.
All right.
Grandma's also moving into the White House. I don't know what her name is, but I'll try and find it out.
Nana.
Good.